Father God, you know what you have laid before us, and we know that all good gifts come from you. And Lord, we do pray, as we've just been reminded now, that whatever it is holds us back from entering fully and deeply into relationship with you, that you will take that away so that we can have all that you want to give us. So open our hearts that we may receive. Clear our minds that we might not almost try to rationalise things, but just trust you as we go forward. And Lord, as we continue to pray, we do remember those people in Turkey and Syria. Lord, those people in Ukraine, the people who are living in situations that are unthinkable to us. Lord, be with them, be with those who are working to try and help, and for the aid that's coming in. And Lord, we thank you for those, your people, who are working in that place, and pray that you will just give them wisdom to know how to best apportion their time, their energies, and the provisions that they have to help people. And too, Lord, we do just pray for our brothers and sisters who are imprisoned or tortured or persecuted because of their love for you. And Lord, be with them today, we pray. So open our hearts, open our minds, help us to be people who are conscious of what is going on, and people who pray and are mindful of others. Lord, we think of our government and decisions that they're making. We think of the Scottish government as they look for a new leader. May that be the right person. And Lord, there are just so many things that are happening in and around the world. So Lord, you know. But Lord, we just pray that you will work your purposes out. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We sing together again, The Lion and the Lamb.
Of the world, he
pride breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Stop the Lord Almighty. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? 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 Stop the Lord. He's the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb, the Lamb that of the world, his blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him.
Praise be to God. The reading this morning comes from Luke 4, verses 1 to 13, and it's about, talking about the temptation of Jesus. Jesus returned from the Jordan, full of the Holy Spirit, and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. In all that time, he ate nothing, so that he was hungry when it was over. The devil said to him, "If you are God's son, order this stone to turn into bread." But Jesus answered, "The scripture says, man cannot live on bread alone." Then the devil took him up and showed him a second, "All the kingdom of the world, I will give you all this power and all this wealth," the devil told him. "It has all been handed over to me, and I can give it to anyone I choose. All this will be yours then if you worship me." Jesus answered, "The scripture says, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and set him on the highest point of the temple and said to him, "If you are God's son, throw yourself down from here. For the scripture says, God will order his angels to take good care of you. It also says they will hold you up with their hands so that not even your feet will be hurt on the stones." But Jesus answered, "The scripture says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil finished tempting Jesus in every way, he left him for a while. Here endeth the reading. God bless.
Thank you, Helen. I'm sure you're aware that this coming week we enter into the period known as Lent, the official run-up to Easter. Well, as far as the church is concerned, anyway. Commercially, it started as soon as Christmas finished, with the Easter eggs appearing in the supermarkets, And I expect you can get them all year round if you look hard enough. And in one sense, our preparation for Easter should be all year round, because Easter is just so significant, so important in the Christian faith. When we think about what Jesus did for us upon the cross, and because of that, we can have all things in God. And as we were saying last week, it's about, when we're talking about love, it isn't just for one day a year, it's all year round. And Easter, the impact of Easter, what Jesus did for us, is all year round. To do well, to reach our goals, as it were, or the goals you set for yourself or for anything else, you need preparation. Preparation is essential, and not just any preparation, but the right preparation. We can set targets, but we need to know how to work to get towards them. Probably told you before about the man who went to visit a farmer, and the farmer said, "I'm into archery." And he said, "I'm really good at archery." And he said, "Come and look at the side of my barn." And on the side of his barn were these targets, and in the middle of every target was an arrow. And the man said, "Oh, that is impressive. How do you manage to hit the bullseye every time?" He said, "Oh, well, I just fire at the barn and then I paint the target on it." And I think that's probably how we tend to work a lot of the time, rather than setting about where we should be going. The passage Helen read to us is about preparation and is associated with Lent. For Jesus, this time of preparation was before his earthly ministry began. Jesus had just been baptized by John in the Jordan, and we would probably assume, well, that's the preparation done. He's ready to go. But as you may have found out, God doesn't always do things the way we imagine, or the way we think he ought to do things. We have to realize that God and his way is the best, even though it may not be the easiest. We are told that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert. It is where God wanted him to be for a time of testing and preparation. And I'm sure Jesus would have been quite happy for something else to happen at that time, rather than for him to go into the wilderness. But he knew it was all about preparation. And through that period of 40 days, Jesus was tempted and he ate nothing. It was a tough time for him, a vital time, not just for him, but for us all. If Jesus had given in to any of those temptations that the devil put in front of him, then the purposes of God would have been undone, because Jesus would have succumbed to temptation. That is how vital this period of time was. And when the writer of the Hebrews says in 4 and 15, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin." Yet he did not sin. Jesus not only understands what we face day by day, he has been there. He's done it, he's experienced it. And that is why, as the NIV says, he is able to empathize with us. I'm sure we've all been guilty of the time when somebody is telling us something that has happened to them, something they're finding it difficult to deal with, and we sit there and say, "Oh, I understand." And you can't understand if you haven't been through it. So just think before you utter those words. If you've been through a similar experience, then you can say, "I understand." But if you haven't, you can't. But in Jesus's case, he can understand, and he does understand, because he's been through anything and everything we're likely to experience. I'm not going to look at these three particular temptations that Jesus faced, but each one was designed by Satan to undermine what God was going to do for all of us through Jesus. And we need to be thankful that Jesus did not succumb to those temptations, but overcame and fulfilled his ministry on earth, culminating with Easter, culminating with his death and his glorious resurrection, defeating Satan once and for all. And that ought to encourage us to stand in the face of temptation. Today we see people who perhaps we would expect to be able to resist temptation, giving in to them. It not only undermines their witness, but the witness of the whole body of Christ. We must all guard against these temptations and support one another. As we've just sung, he's fighting our battles, he's there with us, he's there for us, and we need to realise that. And there is no room for complacency in our lives, thinking that it will not happen to us. We are all vulnerable, and it is only by the grace of God that we're able to stand and give him thanks and hold on to him. Pray for one another that we may have the strength to stand, because as I've just said, if one person falls, it has an effect on the whole witness of Jesus. Jesus resisted every temptation that was thrown at him. And we need to do the same, trusting in his strength and not in our own. If we rely on ourselves, then we will fall. The only way to resist is by trusting in him and allowing him to be our protection, our strength, our stronghold. Any of us that give in to temptation give the devil victory in his fight against God. And as a song from a while ago says, if you think you're standing strong, be careful you don't fall. We cannot take anything for granted. Thank God that Jesus resisted every temptation he faced, and as a result, he fulfilled the calling, the mission that God had sent him for on earth. May we fulfill our purpose as we seek to serve him and to resist the temptations that are put in our way. So in the run-up to Easter, how will you prepare? How will you get ready for Easter? Traditionally, it's a time of fasting, praying, and almsgiving are the three main things that people concentrate on. But often people focus on giving something up, whether you know, it's something just like chocolate, or whether it's a favourite food item. It may be something that takes up a lot of your time, a hobby, watching TV or something similar. But if you're going to give up something that takes up time, then you need to fill it with something, because otherwise those empty spaces will just be wasted. In more recent times, we've been encouraged to take things up and do something positive. Jesus fasted and prayed during those 40 days. So that would be a good place to start. I'm not suggesting you fast for 40 days, because I don't want anybody accusing me of making them ill and things, but fasting at some part, focusing more on him, spending more time with him, setting aside parts of the day to spend with him. I was looking at something that said, when you wake up, don't look at your phone, pray. Try it through Easter. Even see if you can go for the first hour of the day without looking at your phone. Spend time with him, setting aside parts time to be with him. If it helps, even putting it in your diary. I suppose then most of you will have to look at your phone because your diaries are on your phone. But put it in your diary. Make an appointment with God. Appointments through the time. Make time to fast, whether that be from food. We, as this week, have got a day of prayer and fasting, which we have once a month. If you regularly take part in that, then you may want to do that more regularly through these months, through up to Lent. If you've never joined in, maybe the two Thursdays that fall during Lent, you'll make a point of joining in at this time and praying and fasting. Take time to listen to God, not telling him what we want or how we think he ought to do things. Taking time to listen to him. And as I said earlier, referring to Jesus's time in the wilderness, God does things his way. And so we need to listen to him and be guided by him. You may want to make time for people. Call or visit those who may be on their own, or a neighbour who you know but maybe have not spoken to, or to see if there's anything you can do. Something that's a service to the community. You may even feel inclined just to pick up litter in your area. I'm sure there is some. There are lots of things that wouldn't take much effort but may make an impact on where you live. It may give you opportunity to speak to people when they say, what are you doing that for? Or why are you carrying on with that? There are many groups that suggest things for each day of Lent. Some of the, I think it's Christian Aid and Tear Fund have produced these 40 things to do. But one thing I found that I've got here. One, stop buying things you don't need. Start donating things to charity that you don't need. Give up gossiping. Pick up some rubbish every day and recycle or dispose it properly. Eat what you're supposed to eat. Cut out the snacks. Give up sugary fizzy drinks. Get out and get more exercise. Be more thankful. Look for good in things. Try not to complain. Carry out one good deed every day. I hadn't realised, but last Friday was Do a Good Deed Day. So I don't know whether you did or not, but last Friday was. But again, it shouldn't just be last Friday, should it? It should be every day of the year. Find a way to positively get involved in the community. Put a smile on your face. You'd be amazed at the reaction. If you're in a car park, why not park as far away as possible and leave the near places for other people? Don't know whether you ever tried to do that. So I park down there. Try not to use the snooze button in the morning. Use the stairs instead of lifts or escalators. Say something nice each day to your work colleagues and friends. That's just some in this list, but there are other lists, as I say, where people suggest things to do every day to make a positive impact as you go through Lent. There are many things that could be done on our own or with others, and it may be surprising how you spend Lent if you are prepared to listen to God, if you're prepared to open your heart to him, if you're prepared to do things his way. And as Catherine would say, to come to his table and to take what he has on offer. But again, it comes back to listening to God, being prepared to spend time with him and going with his agenda, not ours. It may surprise you if you do listen to him, what happens as a result. The temptation may be to do nothing, which would be far easier. Instead of asking God to help us and to enable us not to give in to temptation, just as Jesus resisted in the wilderness. So how will you spend this period of Lent? How will you prepare for Easter? God was prepared to send his one and only Son into the world for each of us. The pain and the agony that they both endured because they love us. It wasn't easy, yet they did it because they love us. And as we were saying last week, we need to love one another and show it by the way that we live. Not just those we find it easy to love, but all people. People within the fellowship, people within the town, people within our neighbourhoods, that we may see people as Jesus sees them, and people may see Jesus in us. Preparation is vital. May we prepare, seek his guidance in all that we do, not just through Lent, but all year round, that we may know his presence with us as he leads and guides us. And you may be surprised when you get to Easter, if you've prepared, how God speaks to you during that weekend. May we be willing and open to hear from God, now and always. Let's spend a few moments just in quiet before God.